Heidi Holt joins us now from the KAXE studios. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Maggie. Thanks for having me today.
Morning.
Sounds like there was a lot happening last night.
There was. Lots of people there. I've looked into it a little bit before I went, but the purpose for this meeting last night was so the U.S. State Department could solicit public comments regarding the Line 67 expansion draft supplemental environmental impact statement. That's like a 700-page document. And this was the only public meeting that was going to happen in the U.S. regarding the proposed international tar sands pipeline expansion across Canada and the U.S. borders by Enbridge Energy. So I was looking at things before I went on Facebook and online, and the language I saw there said that there would be public testimony that would be accepted. And if you remember in December when Scott Hall attended an Enbridge Energy meeting that didn't last very long, he was kind of surprised that there wasn't public testimony or a formal talk or question and answers, but a bunch of tables of information.
What did you find when you got there?
Well, I thought this meeting was going to be different because it was put on by the U.S. State Department. And so I waited in line outside of the Sanford Center.
Chilly.
Yeah.
Chilly winds.
50-mile-an-hour winds, one below wind chill. And I did not make the 2-mile trek from Rail River Folk School over to the Sanford Center. I was just standing in line there. So I was asking people in line what they were expecting. And some of the people thought it might be the same as the meeting that had happened before. But I met a couple of people that had come up in a bus from Minneapolis, and they were holding notebooks, and they said they'd be giving public testimony. And they were asking me if I had heard what officials would be there. They asked if Secretary of State Rex Tillerson would be there. And they really expected that they would be speaking to a crowd of people.
Well, Heidi, before we hear more about what happened there, can you kind of review for us what the meeting was about in a technical sense?
Sure, I will do my best here. So It was officially, and I got a press packet when I got there, public input on the draft supplemental environmental impact statement of the Line 67 expansion. So this means that they've been working on the study to determine if what Enbridge has proposed, that's the former Alberta Clipper Line 67 crossing international borders so that their pipelines can carry 890,000 gallons of oil a day compared to 500,000 that they can currently carry. And so this Line 67 would go into the new updated Line 3 that Enbridge would like to do. So the study was looking at this proposal from many different perspectives. I mean, there were numerous ones having to do with water quality and wetlands and land use, air quality, greenhouse gases, lots and lots of other things. So they're looking at it from what Enbridge had proposed, but then they also did the same studies on if the proposal was not done, examining all those same issues, if this proposal doesn't pass and what that would mean. And then they also were looking at it if this oil were transported by rail, looking at all those kinds of same issues and also looking at how much oil could come through and all of that kind of thing. So the public forum was to present the information, the study of the public, and to get input on the specific study, whether Department of State should allow it. And so then after this step, a final environmental study goes to interested parties like the EPA, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Fond du Lac Band, Leech Lake Band, and the Red Cliff Band. And then if it passes through there, final steps are going to the Secretary of State and then the President. So that's a very basic description. We're going to have a link to the full study on our website.
Oh, man.
Basic 700 pages.
Yeah, basic 700-page summary. So after you waited in line and you went through the metal detectors, what happened next?
Well, I'd gotten there. I'd heard that there was going to be a jingle dress dance outside of Sanford Center starting at 4 o'clock. The meeting was supposed to officially start at 4:30. So I got there about 4:15, and there was maybe 30 cars in the parking lot, so that's a big place, so it didn't look like a lot. And I kind of waited in the car for a while because of the howling winds, and then I started seeing people in front. I started seeing other media going up to the front of the building, and I thought, well, I'm going to go up there and see what's going on. And then it just kind of was this, people kept just milling in, these charter buses were pulling up. You started to hear that the people who had marched all the way from Rail River Folk School were coming in. You could hear their voices in the wind. And so there was dancing, and there were all the kind of major media were there. There were Twin Cities stations like Care 11 and the ABC station, and TV stations out of Duluth, Lakeland Public Television, Minnesota Public Radio, newspapers. A lot of media was there for the introductory meeting or kind of get together of the jingle dress dance. And it started with just like maybe 5-6 people, kind of led by Annie Humphrey of Deer River. And then people just started to join in. People came with banners. And then that kind of started to break up. And we heard that they weren't going to open the building until 4:30. Well, 50-mile-an-hour winds. I don't want to have you guys forget that. And one below wind chill. So, and then I didn't really realize what that would do to my equipment. I was kind of trying to record and take photos and videos, and that had all just shut down. So I thought, well, I'm going to go in the car, warm up, and kind of do this. And then, so a little before 4:30, maybe 4:25, I started to walk back out, and I got kind of stopped right away. And we couldn't bring in any bags. And no purses, no other bags and that kind of thing. And I told him I was with the media, and he said it was okay to bring recording equipment, but I would have to bring my purse back to the car. So walk back and then walk back again. And then proceeded to spend about 20 minutes in line. And there were these huge lines outside to get in because there were two metal detectors to go through. You'd think that would be it was uncomfortable cold-wise, but people were very pleasant. Everybody was kind of talking with each other, and, you know, I was asking them different questions about why they were there and everything. Finally got through those metal detectors and were kind of ushered into the ballroom, and where they had hot coffee and cookies and lots of people there from the State Department. I didn't see officials from Enbridge Energy, but I had heard that they were going to be there as well. And you walked into the ballroom, and it was kind of around the perimeter of the room where were high tables with kind of three-ring binders of information and then clip charts and all kinds of different things you could look at, and different State Department officials. You could go and ask them any questions. The middle of the room were a bunch of tables. People just started sitting down and drinking hot coffee. And so there was no, you know, official talk or a place where people would go up and give public testimony. On one side of the room, they had high tables with laptops. And so if you had come with public testimony, you could go over to a laptop and type in your testimony. There were also pieces of paper on the smaller tables in the middle. You could write it out and hand it in when you left. And then if you had planned to speak, there were stenographers there. So you could go over and speak your testimony, and they would take it all down and submit it to the State Department for you. So people were talking. It was loud, but you know, pretty peaceful. Some chanting, then some dancing, some drumming. You know, the jingle dresses were still there. You heard that, the jingle dresses a little bit in that sound collage that played right before I was on here. And, you know, people were just talking a lot. There's a lot of security, a lot of police walking around and milling around, kind of just being a part of the whole thing as well.
You know, what are a couple of things that people told you were the reasons why they were there?
I think, you know, for a lot of people, it was water quality. They were very concerned about that. And I was hearing a lot from people who had been to that meeting at the Rail River Folk School. And they were really energized because that meeting was all about green energy. And a lot of different people spoke at that meeting. That was, I think it was maybe, you may know more about that, Maggie, 2-3 hour meeting. I think it started at 1 o'clock. So people were pretty excited about that. And, you know, that's kind of what they were talking about. Honestly, most of the people kind of expected this kind of a meeting because a lot of the people I talked to had been at the previous one, but they just wanted to be there and voice their concerns. They seemed to understand this was a very specific meeting on a very specific environmental impact statement, but they also knew it was an opportunity to meet other people and to be talking about these issues. And so they were kind of all talking with each other, I would say, a little bit more.
The one gal on your audio clip talked about the word awareness. I think that sounds like that hits the nail right on the head.
Yeah. You know, and I also had gotten to me, I didn't meet anybody that was there to talk about jobs And I might have missed, I didn't talk to many of the State Department people. I might have missed the people from Enbridge, but I did get a email from an organization called Jobs for Minnesotans, and they had met earlier before this public meeting, and they are in, they've have approved this draft supplemental environmental impact statement. And, you know, of course, they're Jobs for Minnesota, so they're very concerned about more jobs coming in and expanded amounts of oil to be able to come through. And so, you know, it was people from Beltrami County who approved this. And so they've put out a statement that they are in approval of this. But I didn't find those folks at the meeting last night.
All right. Well, Heidi, thanks for being there. And we are going to continue coverage of the Line 3 pipeline and all of the associated lines that are going to be in play around that pipeline. And we're going to do that on our morning show and through Minnesota Native News, National Native News, National Public Radio. And you're going to have a story about this on our website at kaxe.org.
That's right. And you'll find all the links there.
All right. Thanks for the story, Heidi.
You're
welcome.
Stay
warm.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
It is 2 minutes until 8 o'clock. It's the Wednesday morning show on Northern Community Radio.